See me okay?
Should be good.
Is this mic working? Can you hear me now? Okay. Can anyone hear me? Hello? I guess if I talk really close to it, I gotta eat it. All right. No big deal. All right, much better. All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome to the City of Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. I'm Grant Rosenberg, Chair of BZA, and I'll be conducting today's meeting. Alongside me are other members of the BZA. To my left and your right, our city staff members. Today's meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda. Agendas are available at the table near the entrance. Pursuant to BZA's administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order: staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, motion, second, discussion among board members, and a vote. Members of the public may address the board. And the following rules apply. Each person may speak once for 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except the chair may allow 2 minutes to the applicant for rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to three speakers with 5 minutes each. The board may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have been previously presented to the board. All speakers should come to the podium and speak directly into the microphone. Speakers need to state their name and address for the record. Appeals of decisions of BZA are made to Knoxville City Council. A petition for such an appeal shall be filed with the Plans Review and Building Inspections Department not more than 15 days from the date of BZA's decision. And I'll ask Ms. Scobie to call the roll.
Christina Bowler, here. Ebony James, here yet. Daniel Odle.
Here.
Grant Rosenberg.
Here. And Ebony is running about 5 minutes late, I think, so she'll be here.
And Amy Sherrill.
Here.
Okay. In terms of the agenda, one note is item 2C23VA has been removed from the agenda, so we'll just let the record reflect that. Do I have a motion to approve the January 17th minutes?
So move.
Second.
Motion a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I just have it. Moving on. All right. First item is some old business. Item 1-E-23-VA. I'd like to ask if city staff have any comments related to this application.
Staff's going to make a recommendation that we postpone in order to make sure the agenda is correct in front of you. 1E23VA into the end. The what is on the agenda that you have before you were the variances that were last month and that was postponed. And what was advertised was the new variances. There are three variances. The agenda was not updated with the new variances. And so Jen's going to go and get that and print it out for you give it to you.
Okay.
You can hear that one at the end.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Okay. We'll move that that item to the end of the agenda. Thank you. Okay. Moving on. Do we need to make a motion to move that, or can I?
Yes, it'll need. Okay. I apologize.
All right. I'll go ahead and make the motion. We move item 1-E-21-VA to the end of the agenda. Okay. Motion is second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thanks. Okay. New business item 2-A-23-VA. Are there any comments from city staff regarding this application?
No additional comments.
Okay. Abe Kinney, please come to the podium. State your name and address, and you have 5 minutes.
Abe Kinney with DNA Workshop. The property in question is 0 Holston Hills Road. It's a project for Dominion Development in partnership with the Knoxville Community Development Corporation. It's 96 apartments, 4 buildings. There's a few different building types, mostly due to elevation. We've got somewhere in the order of 40 feet of elevation from the front of the site to the back of the site. And it's kind of driving some split level buildings that are increasing our building height past the zoning requirements. And that's where we're here today.
Okay, thank you. Is anyone here to speak in opposition?
I believe Craig Cobb is attending online. Is he part of your team?
Yes.
Okay. Bear with me as I work through this technology here.
Okay. Please state your name and address.
I didn't mean to raise my hand in opposition. I just wanted to present an idea to the board. The name is Sandra Korbaluk. I represent the Town Hall East Neighborhood Association, one of the largest and oldest associations in the city. We are here to commend the developer for reaching out to work with us over some of the design and service issues that we've identified with this project. Our board is very professional. We have a landscape architect, an architect, a city planner, and we look forward to working closely with the developer. We've identified several design and service issues, primarily access. I know this isn't to do with the height, but I just take 2 more minutes. We know that several of the residents at the existing 96-unit low-income complex on the same property have a lot of trouble with transportation. The nearest bus stop is a mile away, and we have found residents walking along a very narrow, busy street, as well as a woman pushing her 3-year-old daughter in the rain, trying to get to a bus stop to get her electricity turned back on with the CAC. So we have some issues with this. It would be administratively handled, I understand, and we look forward to working with the developer on this project. Thank you. Are there any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to offer any rebuttal from the applicant if you like. Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and unmute Mr. Cobb so that he can speak if he'd like.
Okay, sure.
Mr. Cobb, you should be able to speak now if you'd like to add anything.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Great. This is Craig Cobb. Do I need to state my address as well?
Please.
Sure. It's a 1319 Whisper Trace Lane, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37919. We are going to meet with the board for the neighborhood community there on March the 8th. And we too look forward to having a good partnership and look forward to their input as we continue to move along with our project. But we appreciate the time and appreciate the dialogue that we'll have with the neighborhood group here shortly.
Okay, thank you. All right, any discussion among the board?
I guess maybe staff can help me understand this. So we're looking at height variances, and it was mentioned because of the topography and we're split level. Is that just a factor of where the measure from point is? What is?
Yeah, so building height elevation is measured at the front of the facade from grade vertically up. And it's my understanding that the variances are related to the height of the proposed structures.
So just by nature of which one was determined to be the front?
From the street.
From Holston Hills is the front? Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can clearly see on the elevations you print, you provided the step. I'm just trying to make sure I understand implications of that.
Yeah, so building height is a vertical distance from grade at the front building line. So it's where the front of the building is in relation to the street.
It looks like on the elevations where it shows the split level, that even without the lowest level, it would be a few feet higher than the max height. Is there something other than the topography that's causing the need for a variance?
No, just
please come to the mic so we can get on the record. Thanks.
Yeah, we are trying to extend the building heights a little bit higher. We'd like to preserve 9-foot ceilings and units. We can get it done, but we have to go down to 8 feet. The pitch of the roof puts us up a little bit past the 35 feet.
What is the roof slope?
I don't remember offhand. Okay. I think it's 5 or.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Any other questions? Or any other questions, or I'll entertain a motion.
Okay. I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve 2-A-23VA, with the hardship here being topography. I don't disagree with you, Christina, on the extra 3 feet, but I think overall density isn't changing significantly in relating that. I think you get an additional 4 units. So
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion, a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Ayes have it. Okay. Moving on, item 2-B-23-VA. Glenn Richters, any questions? By the way, one of our board members is recusing herself from this particular item. Any comments from city staff?
No additional comments.
Okay. Please state your name, address for the record, and state the nature of your variance.
Afternoon. I'm Glenn Richters. With the Benfield Richters Company. I live at 1008 Wallace Road, Knoxville. This project consists of the existing, it was an assisted living facility on the corner of Bearden Place and Broadway. Our client has purchased that building with the intent to convert it into residential units. With that conversion, it is a change of use, and so the parking requirements kick in. We are not in the downtown zone, and so there is parking requirements requiring 48 parking spaces. There is an existing lot on the property that contains 26 spaces, and there is no additional room on the property beyond that. So what we're requesting is a reduction in the parking requirement to the 26 spaces that exist. In addition, there are certain inadequacies in the parking in terms of meeting current standards. One is that the driveway, there are two driveways on the side street, Irwin. One is closer than 50 feet allowable, So we're asking for both a variance to allow the two entrances and for one of them to be less than 50 feet. In addition, there is one small section of that driveway which is under 26 feet drive width as it passes the, now on the corner, you'll see a dumpster enclosure, and at that point, the driveway is narrowed up a couple of feet, so it's a little less than 26. So we're requesting those four variances on the property.
Okay, thank you. Is anyone here to speak in opposition to this variance? Okay, I'll open things up for discussion to the board.
Glenn, can you just explain to me real quick what the relationship is, if there is any, between this parcel and the church immediately to the north?
There's no relationship.
There's no relationship.
Correct.
So there's no opportunity for additional parking?
No. So the owner is in the process of reaching out to adjacent properties, but as you may know, there's very little available parking.
Okay.
And as a residential use, that use is not limited to certain hours, and so it's difficult to do that.
Okay.
I was going to ask, how many units are proposed?
50.
50 units?
Yeah,
how many beds?
46 0-1 bedrooms and 4 2 bedrooms.
And I had a question for, just a clarifying question. The minimum required parking is 48. Now that factors in the 30% reduction, or does that not factor in the 30% for transit?
I believe it does. I think you calculated that.
Yes,
that
it correct? Does. Yes.
So that includes the 30%. So it would have been more if not for the transit.
Yeah, it was 63, I believe.
Gotcha. Okay.
If you'd like, I can give some context for why engineering said we're opposing it.
Oh, please. Yeah.
So there's kind of two parts to why we had opposed the two driveways on that, a side street. One is just the nature of how that parking lot's laid out. We feel that people would start using the road as part of the access, kind of the circulation of the driveway. And then the other one is the alignment of that driveway on the corner to the intersection across the street. They're not quite straight with each other, but it's pretty close. So there's just some concern of people kind of cutting the corner to jump into the parking lot.
So you would prefer to see one of those driveways go away?
Probably the one closer to the
intersection.
So if I could just clarify, you're opposed only to the two driveways.
I guess to the two driveways, and was there one about distance?
Yeah, well, one of those two driveways is
right.
So distance, right. So the only thing I say, we can make that work. It just creates a little bit of difficulty in other ways, mm-hmm. in that anybody driving into that aisle would have to turn around to go back out. That's a little awkward. It can be done. More concern to me is the fact that the dumpster is there, and any truck coming in to service that truck would then, servicing that dumpster, would then have to back up. And so that in that process of backing up, that creates a bit of a safety concern.
Biggest concern I have was really related to the reduction. I know it's a change of use. It was previously an assisted living facility, which may not have had the same amount of demand for parking, but now going to 50 units. This is an area where parking is a major issue. There's just very little supply and a lot of demand. So I struggle. That's where I struggle with reducing the number of parking spaces. I understand there's the site is constrained in terms of how many spaces you can fit, but this is always a problem. It's been a recurring problem in this district with a lack of parking. Lack of public parking is a big issue as well. And we have an urban building with not enough urban amenities, such as structured public parking in the vicinity, which I've made my opinion known about that for the last few years on this board, because we've approved some variances in the past, and there's been some I've opposed that we've still approved. It's just an issue we have. So that's where I have some major concerns, and I don't know what solution. You don't have much of a solution for that either. I understand. So I don't envy your position of having to try to work or the developer's position of trying to figure that out. It's really tough. As Daniel mentioned, if there was a way to secure additional parking on the northern portion, but we can't predict what's going to happen with that property as well if it gets redeveloped.
Yeah, this neighborhood's had a couple different things and ways in which this board's dealt with it, all the way from saying no to making an applicant go and do a tour of the neighborhood and try to find parking, and coming back to the board and saying, I've tried everybody and I can't find parking. I'm not sure how to deal with it either. We've kind of bounced all over the place, in my opinion, over the years. Let me ask a quick question on that particular lot. Looking at the existing aerial photo and then looking at the site plan, if I'm reading this correctly, why can't the drive aisle go up around the loop that goes closer to the building and then exit over to Irwin Street versus closer to the intersection? Am I reading that incorrectly? If you look at the aerial, I think there's already pavement there with another drive aisle that's actually in a more northerly direction up Irwin Street away from the intersection, right? There.
I'm not sure I understand the question. So
you don't happen to have a pointer anymore, do we? We used to have a laser pointer. No? It's okay if we don't, but
you can probably reach that screen.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, that is in use.
That's a driveway. That's perfect. Yeah. But your site plan shows the exit on the more southern point, I think.
Correct? Well, there's both. That's where there's two driveways within a distance that only really permits one.
Okay.
So that was part of the variance, was to allow that second driveway to exist. And then the one that's closest, engineering is saying that we should close the one that's within 30 feet, which is the lower one, the southern one.
So the other driveway curb cut on Bearden Place, maybe I'm reading that wrong. Is that not a curb cut on Bearden right there as well?
There's one on Bearden Place as well.
So I count three versus two, and I think am I reading this wrong? 1 to 2? Gosh. Number of driveways from 1 to 2 for lot frontage. For frontage?
Yeah. Okay. So on Irwin, there's...
That explains it to me. It. Okay. Thank you.
Have you looked at different configurations of the parking lot to see if you could get any more spaces?
Yeah, we can't do it.
Okay. Or to resolve the oddity with the dumpster orientation?
I don't see where it could go, except in the courtyard, I guess. right smack in front of...
Where do you or the owner anticipate that the residents will park?
Well, I think the the hope is that we're located next to public transportation and we're in a fairly walkable area. So there'll be a minimum amount of parking required. That said, there will be parking required and, you know, the overflow will have to go on the streets. Okay. Say our office is, you know, blocked down. So we're aware of that situation.
And I may have missed this too. I had that question, but how did we, how did you get to 26 again? To 26 spaces?
The 26 is the existing.
What's there and you want to get to this?
Okay. What's required is the
48.
What we're asking for, yeah, 48.
So a comment just for the board is that I'm in favor of it. We've approved asks that had significantly less space on their site. And I know our history is all over the place, but there's a lot of pressure from the food truck park, from really a lot of stuff that they don't provide any parking. I don't think the food truck park doesn't. But the fact that there are so many, at least, you know, it's not like the buildings all the way up to the property lines, like other issues we've seen. And it is a very connected area in terms of current transit and hopefully future transit and very walkable to amenities.
Yeah, I kind of always end up the same place. On this part of neighborhood, it was old residential neighborhood that we put commercial zoning on top of. It was zone C3 before recode, which was a zoning that was really more focused for like shopping centers. It wasn't really good application for a bunch of old residential lots that took on commercial application over time. And so, you know, I think this is a reasonable use and I'm in favor of promoting its redevelopment with the foreknowledge that we're saddling our neighborhoods with more and more parking in this area of town, but I don't, on the street, I should say, out in front of folks' homes and things like that. I'm not sure how you can avoid that in an area like this that's growing with the property lines the way they are and the sizes of the lots the way they are. So it's a tough one, but I'm going to be in favor of approving this.
For all three?
Yes. I personally don't see benefit to voting for one of them negatively and the others positively in this one.
How does that impact it? So the number two, the driveway situation, I know the engineer was opposed to that. What if we were to, I'm not saying that we would, but for one and three, if we're like, okay, we can get around that, but two is kind of difficult to get on board with or what have you. How would that impact you guys?
So you're saying how would one be impacted if you...
Yeah, like number two.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be pretty difficult to get the same number of spaces would be the issue. I mean, potentially you could have one turnaround space, but then you have a, I mean, it's just kind of awkward to have a dead end there. So I'm sure Glenn could talk to that.
And let me ask a question. My perception, the reason I'm okay with this is that my perception of Irwin is that it's really low traffic. And this is the same driveway has been there for ever. And I don't see any motivator to it's going to cause traffic in that little corridor to dramatically grow.
I would say there's different levels of safety issues. There's backing out into Kingston Pike, and then there's things that could potentially lead to people making decisions they shouldn't. I would say this is on the lower side of safety, where ideally we wouldn't have this, but there's a lot of other non-engineering factors that I think y'all are having to put into play.
I guess that's a short way of saying I'm pro variances that encourage the maximum amount of parking that we can get into a parcel, but I'm not in favor of being unsafe.
Anyone like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion to approve 2B23VA as it's submitted.
Second.
Okay, motion properly seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? No. Ayes have it. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay. Next item, 2-D-23-VA. 2518 North Broadway.
He is on Zoom.
Okay. Before we begin, any comments from city staff?
No additional comments.
No additional comments. Okay. The applicant, Mr. Longcore, if I say that correctly, please state your name, address for the record, and explain the nature of your hardship and variance.
Hi, yeah, my name is Jeff Longstar. I'm with CESO, representative on behalf of Casey's General Store. Since they were requesting a building setback variance at the rear of our property, kind of in the southeast corner, to increase or decrease the 20-foot setback requirement to 17 feet and 4 inches. Ultimately, what's sort of happening there is Casey's is proposing a small building addition on the south side of their building, and there is a kind of a small sliver of our site that doesn't seem to encroach on the residential lot that's along Lawson Avenue, as you can see there. So we are requesting a reprieve on that, given that the building setback is 20 feet requirement from residential and nowhere else around our property. A wrinkle to all this is that we've had multiple survey crews go out to try to verify the property limits for the residential lot adjacent to us, and we have found all the pins multiple times along the main corners of our property, but unable to find any trace of the property line existing where shown. And that's ultimately the perpendicular line at kind of the right side corner of that red box. So it's a little bit of a unique situation. We believe the lot still exists as shown, but it's just something I wanted to mention. For that, that's really all I have to kind of explain the situation, but happy to answer any questions that staff may have.
Hey, thank you. Is anyone here to speak in opposition to this request? Okay, seeing none, open up to the board for questions, discussion.
Could you repeat for me what you were talking about with the having to get multiple verifications on your property line? I was a little confused.
Yeah, no problem. And having the plan up, I think we'll hopefully make it a little bit simpler. Ultimately, on the south side of the plan there's the darker hatched rectangular box. That's the building addition. And pretty much where the blue dimensions are and where the cursor is, there's it's about 29 feet, give or take, of a dimension in the kind of bottom right quadrant of our site that shows where the residential adjacent lot is, and where it kind of it passes and encroaches onto our site. So that's ultimately a residentially zoned. And with that, a 20-foot building setback comes into play. What I was saying is there's been a little bit of back and forth on this with just city staff in general, where we've been able to find the property corners that are the dark PL lines where, you know, kind of at the southeast corner of our site and then the northeast corner and then, you know, following it around the roadways to, you know, solidify our boundary. But what we haven't been able to find is any monumentation that would reflect that the dashed line that's near the cursor that says original lot, I think 51 lot line. We've been having trouble finding that, and we've had multiple survey crews go out multiple trips. So there's a little bit of gray area, quite frankly, with the lot line of the residential parcel. It's just a little unclear. So that's why essentially we're coming to request the variance. We're not sure if it exists or not as shown, but you know, we're sort of trying to move forward without verifying that per se.
Thank you.
So to me, it looks like you're trying to line up the back of the addition with the existing rear of the building. In order to make it compliant, you would lose a couple of feet. Does that, if for some reason you didn't receive this variance, is that a, does that present a hardship for you?
Yeah, and that's a challenge to answer in a way, because there's always a way to construct something, you could say, but not having those walls aligned make it a much more challenging to allow the addition to match structurally with, you know, the existing building. So, you know, I guess that could be, you know, the main hardship at play here, where if we were to kind of cut out a few feet of that building to make it almost like a little notched, it may not actually be able to be constructed in a functional way, especially given that there is quite a bit of grade at the southeast corner, which, you know, is also a factor in all this as well.
I'm willing to make a motion here that we approve 2-D-23VA as submitted. I think the request here is actually less of an impediment than the existing building is. And I do see that the topography there would likely create some ponding and other issues that just aren't good, period.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion and second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. I'll oppose. Ayes have it. Pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Moving back to item 1-E-23-VA, 1315 Forest Avenue. Any comments from city staff?
Yes. Staff wants to note. So the variance request for number two to what was advertised was decrease the minimum front setback from 25 feet to 13 feet for construction of an independent living facility. And if you go to the site plan, scroll down to the site plan, Jen, you can zoom in on the front. It's 15.5 inches. So staff would make a recommendation that if the board makes a determination to approve variance number two, that they make a motion to change that to 15 feet, 5 inches instead of 13 feet to match the site plan that was submitted.
Which is allowed because it's a lesser variance than what was advertised, correct? Okay. Mr. Holmes, please state your name, address for the record.
John Holmes, 5914 Gray Gables Drive. I agree with what Brian said, 15.5 is correct. I think since the last meeting, we worked to reduce these variances. So it would be the 15.5 and then the side setback is less on this request. So I've worked with the neighborhood rep on the design of this house, and is what we've come to is what they would like to see rebuilt in the place here.
Anyone here to speak in opposition to this request? Seeing none, open things up for the board for questions.
I always need to be reminded, what's a substandard lot in terms of width? Or is that the right terminology, substandard? It used to be.
Well, it's going to be based on what the lot width is for the required development. So if they're looking to do multifamily, in this case, it's independent living facility, which the multifamily district dimensional requirements come to play, then it would be 60 feet, the minimum lot width. So for a single family home or duplex,
usually 50.
50. So it's just all dependent.
And Brian, can you, I've just seen this independent living term a couple times recently. Can you explain this to us? Like, it's multifamily, but it's, this is not independent living as I think of independent living, or is it?
So an independent living facility, as it's defined, is a residential development that typically includes common areas for meals and socializing. The units can include cooking facilities. Peter made a zoning determination as the zoning administrator that in Fort Sanders, when single family homes and duplexes are constructed that have five or more bedrooms, they're to be defined by use as an independent living facility, as they're typically rented out by the bedroom. Common areas are shared, socializing areas, cooking facilities. And part of that reason was due to the nature of the use, is it's not really a single family home or a duplex in the traditional sense. And also the parking requirements for independent living facilities seem to align more with students renting by the bedroom versus a single family home or a duplex, where only a minimum of two parking spaces are required.
The front setback, how does that align with the block face of other adjacent parcels?
It kind of varies on the block. To the east, it aligns with them. To the west, they're a little bit different.
There's an aerial on.
There's kind of a weird commercial building in between, but
it looks like it aligns with most of the houses.
And that pushing that forward also is what allowed for your parking at the rear.
It gives me a little extra room for one more parking space. Plus there's two in the garage. So there's actually seven spaces.
And the same two.
Got it. Yep. Okay. Yeah, parking is definitely a challenge there.
John, can you explain the hardship here? I'm not completely tracking with the hardship.
It's a 50-foot lot. You know, everything is, virtually every lot in Fort Sanders is 50 feet wide. It's just, there's no way to get anything larger. It's also steep. At the front, there's probably a 10-foot drop-off between Forest Avenue to the rear. So a lot of it is topography there that it needs to be towards the front to have level parking to not exceed the 5% grade in the parking lot.
But this plan isn't rebuilding an existing house, is it? Or is it?
This is the one that had the structural issue and fell over.
But it's going back on roughly the same.
It's very similar footprint.
Roughly the same footprint, except for the rear, I think, right?
And it's in the historic overlay, so. So I don't have historic approval. They won't see it until this, and got delayed last month. And then.
I'll make a motion to approve 1-E-23VA.
I'll second. Any further discussion? Let me go ahead and add a friendly amendment to your motion, increasing item number 2 from 13 feet to 15 and a half feet.
Yeah, I'll say just for a point of discussion, this is one that, you know, continuing to see these requests over and over in this neighborhood for, you know, that extra foot or two, I don't have any reason to, you know, sort of stake my life on it, but it is, you know, to keep seeing that sort of buck against what the zone is requiring. I'm having a hard time proving hardship in my mind of why that's absolutely necessary to get that extra width in. And the density of this neighborhood and type of construction just concerns me from a, you know, an outright safety standpoint of something catches fire.
Mm-hmm.
You look at this, it's very close.
I'm struggling a little bit with why we're considering this to be something that's grandfathered. It's not going back on the exact foundation line that was there, I don't think. John, how much of this house is like, where was, like, what's exactly gotten bigger?
Only the addition at the rear. The rest is essentially the same. It was actually even closer before. The east hand side was 3'1" previously.
So how big is that addition at the rear?
Compared to the previous, I think it was 16 feet on the previous application from the previous house. It's pretty comparable to it. What we've got now is probably a little bit deeper, but it's narrower, but it's the same square footage. So we've kind of squished it a little bit and extended back. I mean, with the 50-foot lot lines in the fort, 90% of the lots in the fort are 50 foot. A lot are 35 feet. So a lot of this reason, this issue keeps coming up over and over because of the size of the lots.
Well, also because of what we're designing. I mean, it's not just the size of the lot. There's a combination of both. And that's what I'm trying to understand. I don't know where this foundation was. I know that there was one there, and there may have been a variance required to grandfather that house in as it was because of the zoning change, but the house fell down. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to think about that a little bit.
If we step back from the whole independent living, which is the four bedrooms, and we say, okay, it's just a duplex, but it's just four bedrooms each. So it doesn't make economic sense, but I'd be asking for the exact same variances if I did that.
I don't know if it would be that. That's what I'm.
I think I'm in the same port of it's designed to exceed those limits, right? And I understand why.
Yeah.
Right. I get it, but in my mind, that's economic. That's not. That's just because we want a bigger house. It's not because it's actually required. And these are quite large for.
Yeah, the hardship listed is topography, and I don't see that the topography is causing the strict hardship here. It has a little topography on it, but the variances requested, I'm not sure, are the generator.
Yeah, I would be far more comfortable looking at this, striking the number 3 out of this. I get pushing it forward. I don't know that I'd argue topography as much as I appreciate that you're trying to create parking on the site. But I struggle with the need for the interior side setback.
I mean, I can't proceed without number 3. That's the most important one with the side setbacks. There's just no room. Every lot there is 50 foot. They're all essentially, I know substandard's kind of gone away.
It's the whole neighborhood, right? It's not substandard. It's,
yeah.
It's intentional.
Yeah, I think every several houses on the street look to be in violation of 10 feet setback on the side.
Every one of them.
So,
well, and again, yeah, this one fell down. Like, I'm not certain why we aren't requiring enforcement of the setback when it's not no longer the structure itself is no longer there.
I mean, the other wrinkle, of course, here is historic, which comes after. So we still have to meet whatever they say too. And there's complexity requirements between number of bump outs, things like that too, to factor into. There's a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah, we do have a motion and a second before us. Let's go ahead and vote and go from there. So.
I'll add a comment, just that with those side variances, that it is just those bays, I guess, that project into the side yards. Do you know how far those are projecting past the rest of the?
I think it's 2'3" on one side and 2'7" maybe on the other. So it does. That's a good point. It does minimize how much steps into the 5-foot setback. The majority of the building is more like 7.5 on either side. But this is what the historic has recommended, to have those bump outs to match the style they want when they wrote her up.
Sorry, we have motion and seconds. Okay. Motion and second before us. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Opposed.
Same.
Okay. We have 3 ayes and 2 noes. Motion passes. Thank you. Hey, I do have one item of new business I would like to discuss, if that's okay. Sent an email to Christina last week, and we talked about it. I think after our last meeting, I'd like to ask the city to consider scheduling a 1 to 2 hour training/workshop for BZA. We haven't had one in a while. We've had some new members join. It'd probably be good for even those who've been on the board a couple of years for a refresher, and also give us an opportunity to kind of have a general discussion without a specific case before us. We could kind of talk about, we can air our grievances. So I wanted to make sure the board was okay with that and get your all's feedback or any thoughts and ideas, and obviously any thoughts or ideas from city staff as to how we want to proceed with that. But I was thinking just in the next month or two, scheduling a session.
We can absolutely do that. Looking at April or May, is the entire board going to be here for that? I guess that's one question. I'm looking at Amy specifically because I can't remember what your due date is.
End of April.
I'll
be question mark.
Question mark. That's completely fair. Okay. Okay. Sounds good.
So maybe early April.
Early April. Yeah. Well, we do have. Yeah, well, we could zoom you in. Yeah, you know, not that you won't have anything else to be doing, right? Yeah, exactly. Well, we can absolutely do that. We can go over, you know, legal definitions of hardships and examples. We can look at procedure for Robert's rules. But typically, we'd like to throw in something else, some kind of technical aspects. You know, we've had David McGinley in our engineering department before talk about floodplain issues. We had 1 year where there were 3 or 4 of those related variances, and he came and he's just a wealth of knowledge anyway. But is there kind of, if you can think of some other topics you might want training on, or we as staff can just kind of pick 1 or 2 for you and have somebody come and speak on that, whatever you feel would be most helpful. We've done fair housing before because we've had some disability related requests to variances. I'm trying to think, Brian, help me out here. What else have we had specific trainings on?
I can't remember right now. It seems like it's been a while since we.
Yeah, COVID really threw us off track. So those are the most recent ones that I can think of, fair housing and floodplains. So
we seem to have a lot of requests topography related, and I know there's been a couple of hilltop.
Sure.
So that could be another
I'll write that down. In the meantime, you know, we don't have to come up with it today, but if you all think of anything, if you could email me and let me know, but I'll put topography down as a...
I might suggest variances related to new development.
Anything in particular you're thinking of?
Well, yes.
Could you elaborate?
Yes, I am happy to. We have new development in front of us regularly.
Sure.
And you can always make an argument if you're up here that new development is creating their own need for variances.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I've always kind of struggled with this, and I've come up with my own. Well, I'm not going to say it's my own. I think it's educated mm-hmm. at this point. Mm-hmm. Context that seems reasonable sure. for how to think about that. But variances are related to the land.
Correct. Yeah.
And new development doesn't always have a real clear-cut variance justification to say yes to. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. And okay. how do we deal with that as a board that we're given something that maybe not specifically dealt with? And I guess also kind of tied with that is we want to try to be consistent, but maybe going over again, like, do we create precedent? What do we need to be cognizant of relative to precedent? And
that's always a good reminder to put in there.
Yeah, the things that kind of come along with that new development thought process relative to anybody that goes to challenge a variance that is approved to city council, things like that.
Yeah, I'm going to say I agree. After our last meeting, we were talking about it, and I was like, man, you know, when I came in, it was like, hi, everybody. And then it was my first day. And then I was like, all right, we're making decisions.
Right.
So I think for me, it'd be super helpful to follow what you said, as well as just taking a step back too, just from a general understanding overall, you know, just like, this is what we do. This is what you do. Here are all of us that are involved, and here's our specific roles. And to the extent you have a question about either one of these, if it's engineering, this is who you contact before or after. Okay. And this is who you contact here. Are there deadlines? And what, because I know we had a whole conversation about the deadlines and how that impact our decisions and how our, I think for me, how our decisions today impact future things, even though we don't need to make a decision just solely based off of that, just understanding our decisions in a bigger context. Sure. And how that relates to future dealings as well.
Right.
Okay. And then just overall what he said, I don't want that to get lost. I think that is so lovely being up here with each one of them. But outside of what we talk about, like specific matters, I would like to kind of have those additional, that is social aspect of it to get more okay. conversations as it relates to this stuff, just okay. generally.
Great. That's very helpful. Okay. Okay, well, like I said, if you think of anything else, just let me know. But we'll tentatively plan that for April. Do you want that to follow the regular board meeting? Or with Amy, do we want to try to schedule it earlier?
I don't know. What do y'all think? I'm fine with scheduling it earlier, but is it easier to do like over lunch or morning or afternoon? That's why maybe a doodle poll or something, like sending out a...
I tend to want it not on the same day and time as this meeting, personally.
Okay.
Unless somebody, I don't know, I could go earlier, I guess, and take off the afternoon, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think in the past we've started one at 3:00 and just done a 1 hour. Yeah. Because we do have to include this in a published notice. This is still open meetings and everything. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Is it open meeting if we're not deliberating on an item though?
We've typically done, you know, publications and invited the public to attend. That's our typical practice. Yeah. If there's a meeting, we're going to allow people there.
Do we have to do that for each one? Like, can we do a thing where maybe we do that, but for certain other specific stuff that we just want to just talk about generally?
You mean in terms of trainings or?
I didn't know our training in the past has been public.
Yeah, like does meeting. The train. Yeah.
We had always publicized it. Nobody showed up, but we did publicize it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Sure. I think some of the conversation, I just want to make sure that we also have the opportunity to kind of talk amongst ourselves to really understand our own thought processes around this without chilling the speech of the more technicals, just understanding the technical aspect of it and not confusing the public with our own confusion.
Sure.
Those type of meetings.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, the good news is that, you know, doing this training, I or Joshua or whoever's doing the part of the training, you all can talk amongst yourselves because you're not debating an item. So, yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Well, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any further business before the board? We'll adjourn. We don't need a vote to adjourn, do we? Just adjourn. I have that power.
You have that power.
I abuse my power here. Adjourn. Thank you.